What's it like to be a Christian in modern-day Syria? We're going to talk right now with a man named Julian Dobbs, who's a bishop with the Convocation of Anglicans in North America. Julian, it's been a while since we've had you on the program. Welcome back. So great to have you.
Jerry, always good to be with you, and always good to talk about the gospel, especially as it relates to suffering Christians around the world.
So what's it like to be a Christian in modern-day Syria?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, to recognize that Christianity dates back to the days of the Bible in Syria. We're talking about very ancient, long-standing communities who at one stage made up, in some reports, at least a third of the Syrian population in general.
Wow.
That's not the case now.
Mm-hmm.
And significant numbers of Christians have fled as a result of significant pressure on their communities. If we think, for example, of the Christians in Syria's second largest city in Aleppo, a city that I have visited where I still have significant Christian contacts, Aleppo, even as we speak, under significant pressure from rebel forces trying to eradicate government influences in that city. And the people that are suffering the most are the Christians who have been the bedrock of that city for so long. Many of them had to flee. Families have had to be torn apart. Christians are without livelihoods. We're entering into the Syrian winter. I've been in Syria in the winter. These are some of the most harshest conditions I've ever had to endure. Life is significantly challenging for Christians in Syria. I would say it's a daily struggle.
Mm. And I understand that of the thousands of refugees that have been admitted during the Obama administration, that something like 99% are Muslims. And I'm talking about refugees from Syria specifically, and 1% or less are Christians, which is amazing to me because certainly the Christians are among the most worthy of the victims, it seems to me, in Syria.
Yes, this is particularly difficult for us to try and understand how this has come to pass when the administration says that there is no deliverance of visas based on religion. Yet when 95% or such a high percent of visas have been given to non-Christians, to Muslims, at least one like me asking the question, how is that the case? Outside of the region, outside of Syria, here in the United States, we have the largest population of Syrian Christians in the world. This is a natural place for the Church of the United States to be welcoming of their brothers and sisters,
Yeah. And
yet Christians appear to be marginalized from coming to this country, even when it's very clear they're coming as refugees because they're being targeted as a result of their faith.
Now, one of the groups that I understand you're working with to help the Syrians in need, the Christians in specifically, is Barnabas Aid. And I have here a press release. Three mortars and rockets hit our Christian area where we live, causing three deaths with 10 injured, our ministry partners in Aleppo told Barnabas Aid just last month. Comment on that, if you would. This is an ongoing type of problem?
Yes, it is. And part of the problem is that residents of these cities like Aleppo, where I mentioned earlier, which is the center of that attack that you've just referenced last month, they are being used as human shields in many circumstances to shield rebel forces. And they become caught up as innocent victims in this conflict. And what we've got to consider is this conflict now has already caused considerable devastation to these towns and cities. When I look at pictures of Syria, it seems to me that I'm looking like images that have suffered the most indescribable bombardments. Aleppo, where I've walked the streets of Aleppo and sat in cafes in Aleppo, I wouldn't recognize it now because it's in pieces. And as a result, the Christian communities in those areas have suffered. Obviously, we want the Christian communities to be able to stay and be strong so that they can continue their presence in those in that environment. And yet we find that the Christians are fleeing, and we can understand why they would flee, because their very lives are at risk.
Hmm. Now, your press release here, and or maybe it's the Barnabas Fund press release, but it says that at the start of the Syrian conflict, there were approximately 450,000 believers in Aleppo, meaning Christians. Now there are around 35,000. Many of those that remain are the poor and elderly who are unable to leave. They would just like to live their lives, our partner explains. Your comments.
Well, as I said earlier, remember Syria, together with Iraq, its neighbor, is considered the cradle of civilization, the region that saw the gospel in the very early days of our ministry. Residents of Mesopotamia from the Iraq side were present at the day of Pentecost. Paul himself had his conversion experience, later went down that little street called Straight that we read of in Damascus. If you go inside the city walls of Damascus today, you turn to your right and Straight Street is exactly there. I've been there myself. And so this civilization, this Christian community in Syria was once hugely influential in Syrian society. And yet now, as a result of this continued decimation, targeted decimation against the Christians, the Syrian community has been weakened significantly. And that weakens their influence in Syrian life. It weakens the influence of the gospel across Syria. And of course, it tears apart Christian families, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm. We worship the same God that Christians worship here in the United States.
But now, I don't really understand even all the things going on in Syria, but the best I can tell is that Bashar al-Assad, the president, beleaguered president, is one version of Shia. And the majority of the Muslims in Syria, which is the majority population of that country, is mostly Sunni. And so this is basically Sunni versus Shia. And then, unfortunately, the Christians are caught in the middle. Is that kind of a summary of what's going on in Syria?
Well, it's a summary to some extent. I think what we have to see is that the rebels in Syria...
Okay, your cell is breaking up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a summary in some respects. What we have to recognize is that the rebel forces, as they're termed in Syria, are made up significantly of foreign fighters, people who are brought into Syria from Libya and Egypt and other surrounding countries and are promised various incentives if they join the rebel fight in Syria so that they can remove Assad, particularly those who are associated with ISIS, and establish a caliphate in Syria to reestablish Islamic law. This is the intention. Under the Assad regime, and this is not, my comment now is not in any way to excuse the Assad regime of any atrocities that they have committed,
yes,
but under the Assad regime, the current Assad and his father, his predecessor, Christianity was very much given the freedom to exist in Syrian society. Once that freedom is taken away, we only need to look to places like Egypt and Libya to see what happens when the leader who has given favorable treatment to the Christian community is removed, Islamic leadership is established, a more fundamental Islamic leadership is established, and the Christian community becomes further threatened, not only Christians, but other minorities as well. And this is the concern that many analysts have with regards to the trajectory in Syria if the Assad regime was to fall or be replaced by rebels.
Okay, now where does Russia fit in to the Syrian conflict, and where does the United States fit in to the Syrian conflict?
Well, the Russians have been supportive of the Assad regime, and they're being supportive, I think, because they recognize that without Assad in place, a more fundamentalist Islamic regime will be established. And the Assad regime has enjoyed much protection from the Russians, which has in turn, in some respects, afforded levels of protection to the Christian community. The United States seems uncertain with regards to how best to influence the Syrian conflict. I wrote an open letter some years ago to President Obama expressing my concern that United States involvement give protection to the Christian minority in Syria, and that if we move to armed rebels, we would be moving to armed groups that would focus their attacks on eradicating Christianity from Syria. So we have to understand the conflict at all of those different levels while wanting and being desirous of supporting the Christian community.
You know, I think it would be safe to say that in virtually any of these Middle Eastern countries, of which there's a lot of conflict, that the faithful Christians and the faithful Jews are like the canaries in the coal mine. And, you know, what happens to them is then indicative of what is going to happen even to those Muslims who don't agree with the other Muslims in power, if that makes sense. And so if the Christians and the Jews are innocent and they're being attacked, then you can bet, you know, that others will feel the wrath of the Islamists.
Certainly. I believe Syria can find its way out of the chaos it's in. It won't be simple. And help from the United States is obviously critical in doing that. And the new administration may well be able to influence Syria in a way that we've not seen in the past. Syria was never a society that was perfect. However, Christians have in the past been allowed to flourish in Syria, and I don't believe that you can bring Syria back on stream to be a viable society without the Christian community operating freely and worshipping freely, enjoying the freedom of religion that we enjoy in the United States. It's critical that the Christian community is able to influence society from within Syria.
Huh. Now, you said earlier that at one point about a third of the population of Syria was Christians. But let's say at the very outset of this Syrian conflict, the recent one, which would be about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years now at this point, what was the Christian population, about 10% or less?
Yes, the Christian population at the outset of the current violence was about 10% of the community. Now, that might seem small, but we're talking about 10% of people, followers of Jesus Christ, being salt and light in that community, enabling their influence, gospel influence, on the Syrian society. That's significant. Some reports now put that down as low as 5%. It's difficult to ascertain because, obviously, the reports coming out of Syria are varied. We're in a state of war in that country. And so, therefore, the Syrian population, the Christian population in Syria, has been drastically reduced. Therefore, the ability of that population to influence in Syria has been reduced. There are, of course, some very faithful Christian leaders who have stayed, some I know personally, some even in Aleppo. There are others trying to influence government from within Syria, but large numbers of the Christians that remain in many of these ravished areas of Syria are the poor, the frail, and the elderly. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones, obviously, that an organization like the Barnabas Fund during this winter season is wanting to help significantly.
Well, their website for that is barnabasaid.org. Julian, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you.
God bless you. It's always a delight to be with you, and I am privileged to talk about the suffering church with you today.
All right. Thank you now. God bless. Bye-bye.